Chapter number 5. If you're thinking, hey, is he going to go to that new verse of the year? You betcha. So Matthew chapter number 5. And of course, once you have found your place, if you're able to, go ahead and stand in the honor of reading our Father's holy word here. We're going to read just 3 verses out of Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14, 15, and 16 here today. And y'all done put Brother Tim to shame. Everybody else is standing up and he's still sitting there trying to find his Bible. I'm going to deduct that pay. Alright, Matthew 5, 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a song that is not in our hymnal there, unless I missed it, called This Little Light of Mine. That's going to be the title of our sermon here today, This Little Light of Mine. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to gather here today at Faith Baptist here in Whiting. I thank you, Father, for the privilege and the awesome responsibility to be called to be the under-shepherd here. And I ask you, Father, please to help me to walk worthy of it. I thank you, God, for each and every one that is gathered here, each and every one who has been coming. Even the visitors that we've had, they've come once or twice and they've left. It still has been a blessing to me to see them. And I pray, Lord, for each and every one that you'd give them a blessing in kind. Help us, Father, please, to overcome, to see victory this year. To let our light so shine so that others may see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. In that glorious, wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus, we're asking you, Lord, please take care of these, as well as all the prayer requests that were mentioned here earlier. In His name we pray. Amen and amen. So you may be seated. So I think we all have at least heard the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Based off of Matthew chapter 5 here, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. The song even includes the verse, and for the longest time, when I was a little one, I could not understand why in the world the verse was, let it shine all over Star Chicago. I could not grasp why Star Chicago. Where is Star Chicago? I couldn't get it. And I did not understand that the little star was there just to let you know. You can put in whatever city or state or country you are in there in place of Chicago. I did not understand it. But yeah, that's the whole point of it. Let it shine all over Whiting. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all over Whiting. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And when the kids sing it, it is so adorable. When we get to sing it as adults, it should put a little bit of a smile on our faces, just thinking, hey, I get to sing this little kid song here as well. But quite frankly, once you get saved, whether you are 4 years old, 40 years old, or 140 years old, this little light of mine should mean more to you than just being a little cute kid song. Far too often, it's a great song, but it's not a way of life. Far too often, we start thinking the wrong way about God, that I only have to actually offer my light up to God as I'm singing the songs, attending the church services, and that's it. Or occasionally I hand out a tract. But God wants more than that. He wants us to let our light shine. Now we saw last week that Jesus is the light of the world. I believe we demonstrated that enough. John chapter 9 verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, this is Jesus talking, I am the light of the world. And that's a great verse. And unfortunately, far too many Christians have taken that to say, well, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and that's all there is to it. I don't have to worry about doing anything else because Jesus is the light of the world, and people are just going to see me going about doing everything that I need to do, and I'm living a clean life. I ain't smoking, I ain't drinking, I ain't cussing, I ain't cheating on my wife, I ain't cheating on my taxes, I ain't doing any of these bad things like the rest of the heathen do, and that'll be good enough because Jesus is the light. The problem is they ran right over the first half of the verse. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, he ain't here right now. Brother Tim is here bodily. My wife is here bodily. Miss Lois is here bodily. I could walk up there, I could shake your hand. The Bible says that God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The Bible also says that Jesus is right now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And so if He's busy making intercession for us, it don't matter, He's got a physical, transfigured body right now. He ain't here right now. His Holy Spirit is. Don't misunderstand me. His Holy Spirit is here.
Go ahead.
But He ain't here. I can't walk down off of this platform here and say, Jesus, it is great to have you here today. It don't work that way. He's not here physically. Which means if He ain't here physically and He ain't here bodily, He needs some light being shed in this world for Him.
Go ahead.
Now, is Dennis Sampson creating light? No. Is Tim Moore creating light? No. Jeannie Wilkin creating light? No. Anybody in here creating light? No. How is that, preacher? You calling us no good Christians? No, I ain't saying that at all. What I am saying is you and I don't create light at all. We reflect it. So when Jesus said here in Matthew 5, He was not contradicting John 9. What He is doing is He is expounding here for us how we are to let this light of mine shine. And I believe there are three things here that He shows to us, that He proves to us here today about how it is we can let our light so shine. Number one, we have to understand our position, our character. We are the light. Look with me in Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Let me repeat that statement. Ye are the light of the world. After He has literally just said, I am the light of the world. Now He says, ye are the light of the world. 1 John, what is it? 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. God is light. Jesus, I am the light. And He says, ye are the light. 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 He just paid us a tremendous compliment. Our Father adopted us into His family when we asked Jesus Christ to save our souls from eternity. We're part of the family. We've been adopted. He is light. Jesus is light. We get to be bringing His light. Because we're not. We are not God, okay? But we get to reflect His light to this world. The moon does not create light of its own. By the way, it's also not made of cheese, so, you know, just in case anyone still believed that myth. Now, I just want to clear that one up for you. But the moon reflects the sunlight. It hits it and brings it back down here to planet Earth. That's our job, church. That is what He has given us. He says here, ye are the light of the world. That word light, I looked it up. I like to do these word studies. Y'all know this. That word light here literally means rays. Okay? You picture a cloudy day outside. You step outside, you're going along, and all of a sudden the clouds part just a little bit, and it's like you can see the streams of light, the streams of sunshine coming down in front of you. We're not witnessing the sun. The sun is overcast right now by the clouds, but we've got these light beams coming down, these rays of sunshine coming into our lives. Jesus is saying, you're like those rays of sunshine peeking through the clouds of this world, peeking through all the evil and the darkness and the inhumanity that abounds so freely in this world. This is the position I have given unto you. You can shine through. If I had a single light bulb here, it would light up so much. But if I then take a mirror and put it behind that light, and I can actually then begin to direct the light and focus it and let others see around them, maybe focus it on someone, say, hey, look at that person over there, look at that person over there, and then bringing the light into their lives. I'm not taking the whole light bulb, picking it up and sticking it right in their face. Hey, look at the light. I'm reflecting it. You and I, as Christians, are supposed to be reflecting that light. The word Christian literally means Christ-like. Like the Christ. We are never going to be Christ, but we are to be like Christ. And the more we get into His Word, and the more we serve Him, the more we pray, the more we have fellowship with one another, the stronger, the more powerful Christians we become, the closer to Christ we become. The greater we're able to reflect the light of Him to a lost and dying world. This is our position, our character. We are the light. But besides our position, our character, there is also our placement. The location is everything. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now I want to do something here real quick. Let me take one of these. You know what? That'll work right there. Yeah. Screw that. Okay. And y'all can see the light there. All I did was just unscrew that. And I've got me a bushel here. Now, you know what? It ain't dark enough. Let me make it a little darker here. I'll get there. I'm going to get it. This bushel is dark. Now y'all can't see any of that light blue no more because it has been covered. If all these lights suddenly went out, the window shades fell down and no light was entering into this building whatsoever, how much good is this flashlight doing anybody right now? None. Because it's under a bushel. He says, ye, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. So now I've got this flashlight here. But really, at this moment in time, is it really doing us much good? I mean, it's focusing up there on the ceiling. But then when I put a candlestick there, all I did was add a cheap piece of plastic to it. But yet now the light is suddenly more visible because of placement. Because location means everything. I can now direct traffic. Instead of shining it in your eyes and blinding you, I can now say, hey, go on over there. Go on back over there. Yeah. When we went to do the penny march, Miss Joyce is over there like, do this, do this. She wants to see that. No one asked you to be blinking, but hey, guess what? Everybody's attention suddenly came to it blinking, didn't it? All right? Placement church. We put it up on the candlestick so it shows better. These light fixtures here. Y'all remember a few weeks ago how dark it was in here? Come on, y'all remember that. Well, imagine then if we took these same light fixtures, took them off the ceiling, and built them so that they fit underneath the respective pew that they're by. Now, y'all remember how dark it was? It was overcast that Sunday morning, okay? Let's not, you know, mince words here. So it's nice and dark. It's overcast. These lights are underneath the pews. Well, we can see, but our ability to see is going to be hampered considerably. We're not going to be able to see as clearly. But because we've mounted them there on the ceiling, the light's able to reach out further. The light's able to reach various corners that it will never reach if it's buried underneath those pews. We will never reach anybody if we are busy concealing our light. So, preacher, how do we conceal our light? Glad you asked. An inconsistent Christian life. That means I'm a Christian on Sunday morning, Tuesday evening. We're all good in the hood. That's not consistency. It might be consistent. You do it every Sunday and every Tuesday night. But God wants 7 days a week with us. He don't want just weekends. He's not an absentee parent. He doesn't want absentee children. He wants us to be serving all the time. If we have inconsistent lives, we're all, bless you, Heavenly Father. This one is so great. Oh, please bless them mightily. And then we do like some of these morons that you read about there on Facebook, about how they, as soon as they get out of church, they run on over here to the local Cracker Barrel or whatever, and they treat their server like garbage and don't even leave a tip. That's inconsistent living. This is America. We do tip. Oh, by the way, when you tip and you want to show that you're a Christian, you're not looking to give 18%. Try getting closer to that 25%. So, preacher, they did horrible service. Yeah, and you, what was our Sunday school lesson was? We do not repay evil for evil, but we're not supposed to have resentment or anything. We're not supposed to avenge ourselves. We are supposed to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, go ahead and just take. People have bad days. Here's a 25% tip. Oh, by the way, here's a gospel tract. Hey, do you know Jesus says you're Lord and Savior? Now, don't tie up their time, okay? They do work on tips and all that, but try to let them know Jesus loves them. That's a bit more of a consistent Christian life than just, they were horrible service. Here's a penny on the table so they know I gave them a tip. I didn't just walk out forgetting to leave a tip. Now, don't do that stuff, especially if you're going to mention the name of Faith Baptist. I do not want to be included in that nonsense. No. Consistent living where they know that we are Christians. Oh, by the way, unconfessed sins, whether they are little bitty sins or they are great big sins, God doesn't care about that. God says a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. Get it confessed. Because otherwise, you are placing that light there where it cannot be shown. Placement means everything. But I want to show you something here about verse 15 real quick. Let your light... This first word for light that's found here in this sentence literally means to set on fire. It's the ignition. This is the jump start. This is where it all begins. Let your light so shine. Neither do men light a candle. They don't think, okay, here we go. No. They're not hiding it on the bushel. They want to get out there and tell someone about Jesus. Remember how it was when you first got saved? You wanted to tell somebody about Jesus? You wanted to say, hey, man, this is great. You need to try this. We need to keep that going on in our lives, that initial spark, and let it keep on burning in our lives. Let it rage up there into a roaring flame. And if you burn out for Jesus, praise God, burn out for Jesus. But if you're keeping under bushel, bad placement will never get you anywhere. But notice the second here. Let your light so shine. I'm sorry, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The second word for light here literally means to radiate, to give light, to beam. The source is in full view here, church. And it giveth light unto all the house. I want to let everyone see it. I want to be an unabashed Christian. An unashamed Christian. This is what I believe. And even if you take and you cuss me out, you make fun of me, you throw things at me, you run me out, I want you to be doing it because you've seen Jesus in my life. I want to radiate. I want to reflect what He's done for me in my life. For you. Hidden light gives no help to the occupants around it. It's always far easier the higher up the light is to get the full effect of the light. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But if we keep Him there at ground level, guess what? He ain't going to be drawing very many because they're at ground level. Hey, we've done it before. Let's do it again. Down here at ground level, can't see much. Well, Josiah is up there. Okay. I looked over earlier and I didn't see him because he was down below the pew. Couldn't see him. Max just went down below the pew. Can't see him. Church, he just popped back up. He's gone again. If I come looking for Max, I say, you know what? I suddenly say, you know what, Max, I got a pretty nice new $1 bill here that's only got the one crease in it. Even though it's from what? It looks like 2017. And Max, I'd certainly love to give this to you, but I can't find him. And it'll do no good. Now, boy just instantly shot up his hand and said, preacher, I'm right here. Don't lose me. Don't lose me, preacher. Don't lose me. How about we start saying that to God? God, don't lose me. I'm right here. I want to live for you. I want to do what you have me to do. Father, I'm right here. Too often, we're too busy hiding. And because we're busy hiding, just like Max right now, we're not getting the money because he has yet to come up here to claim it. He's looking at Grandpa like, Abuelito, should I go? And Abuelito's like, boy, it's up to you. You're the one who's not moving right now. Preacher's telling you, you need to get moving. You still ain't coming back. Now look at that. And he all of a sudden, he's coming for it. You like this dollar bill? Let me tell you something. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Have you earned this $1 bill? No. But, Bible goes on to say, Romans 6, 23. So, while the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You never, ever have to earn the gift. It's yours. All you have to do is literally what you just did, is take it. That's how easy salvation is. You literally just have to accept He's offering you salvation. Right. See how hard it was to witness to somebody? Well, preacher, you're in church. So? Preacher, he's been attending Sunday school. So? It works for the person who's never been inside the church before. It works for the person who's been inside the church 1,000 times.
You're right. Right, preacher.
It works.
It does.
Because it's a free gift. Because it costs you nothing. But the person who gave it, it cost them everything. Thank you, Max. But if my placement was wrong, I reached in my pocket. That first pocket, there's nothing in that pocket. He wasn't going to get nothing from this pocket. I had to go to where the money is. In this pocket. You ain't getting the rest of this to put your eyes down. The church. Placement. Where is our placement? The world is not planning on beating down our door to come to us and say, hey, can you tell me about Jesus? Bible says no man seeks after Him. He has to draw all men to Him. The Holy Spirit will draw you. But guess what? How's He drawing you? By sending the Christian out there to present the gospel. These light bulbs were here all the time. The switch is on all the time. But we got to go in the back and turn the breakers on to turn these lights on. Church, too many of us, we flip the breakers spiritually and we ain't drawing nobody because we've turned off the power source in our own lives. How can we be the light of anything? How can this little light of mine shine if we ain't got power on? He just said amen. That's what that was. Jesus needs to be high and lifted up. And it's our placement to do just that. We are to be the candlestick. We are to be the mirror behind the light, reflecting Him to a lost and dying world. And the reason is quite simple. We have a purpose. Verse number 16 says, let your light, by the way, that's the same word as in verse number 14 there. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And, don't forget that word and. I love that word and. That word and literally means I've told you something, but I ain't told you everything, but I'm about to give it to you. And glorify you. Anyone's Bible say that? I'm deaf. What? No. Okay. I want to make sure. I was getting really worried. I was going to have to start burning books here because you all ain't got the right Bible. And glorify your church. Anyone's Bible say that? I'm starting to think it does. I'm not getting responses, church. You all know me. I will start calling on names. Glorify your church. Okay, got to know. And glorify your pastor. Glorify your Sunday school teacher. Glorify your town. Glorify your country. Glorify your nationality. Glorify your religion. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I heard some yeses there. Praise God. Those who make it about themselves are missing the whole point for being this light, this ray of sunshine coming down. It is bringing Him high and lifted up. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It ain't about this church. It ain't about the live stream, the pews, nothing. It's about God. It's about letting the world know Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We're coming up to what they call award season. Oscars, Grammys, Tony Awards, all this thing. And all they do is celebrate the individual. Or they'll assemble the whole cast. All right? It's still individuals because it ain't representing the producers. It ain't representing the studios, the distributors, the screens out there. Ain't representing none of that. It's still individuals. And those who want church and the preaching to be about them and them alone, you're no better than the Oscars or the Grammys, because it's all about you. But then there's other things out there, such as J.D. Power, the Nielsen ratings. These point to the brand. They don't look at the individual. It's not going to be about this fancy tie that has a piano key on there. It ain't going to be about the guy with the no tie on. It points at the God of heaven who saved their souls from eternity in hell. It's about the Savior who died there on the cross, was laid in the grave for 3 days, and up from the grave He arose that third glorious day to save our souls. That's what it's about. Our purpose is to shine the light in that way. What if right now, that little demon-possessed child of mine sitting over there decides suddenly to act up? decides suddenly she's going to throw herself a little temper tantrum. The battery on her phone just died, and she's now bored. She don't like this, and she starts throwing things around. Don't you dare start either, child. I will come down there and displace that demon. She just starts completely going nuts right now. And some of y'all are saying, that is just not in her character. And others are going to be sitting there saying, yeah, why don't mommy and daddy straighten her out? They need to bring the Board of Education to the seat of correction there. Why is she misbehaving? Well, we know that her parents don't care. Look at how the preacher's daughter is behaving in church. She's just being an evil child right now. But here's the thing, though, church. It don't matter if she's in the building or she's outside of the building. She's in school. She's in a restaurant. She's in the doctor's office. That reflects badly on me and Mama. As a child of God, that reflects horribly on God the Father. Because she's drawing glory away from Him. But when she's sitting there being a good little girl for a change, does all those pictures that she loves to send out to encourage people, she's bringing a smile to people's faces, behaves herself for a change, brings a little bit of glory to God. You get up here and you recite a memory verse you've been working on, sing a song, brings a little bit of glory to God. You do what you can. You bring glory to God, not to yourself. We had the funeral for Miss Linda McLemore yesterday. I don't know how many of y'all know her. I know the Moores know her. Her and her family, they went by the name of Rusty Nail Crossing. And tremendous, tremendous blessing. Wonderful, wonderful singers. Told Brother Daniel, my fondest memory of Miss Linda. I just started pastoring over there at 29th Avenue. We're just about done. Just started pastoring over there at 29th Avenue, and we had Rusty Nail Crossing scheduled to come in and sing for us. I want to say it was the first homecoming that I was pastor there. And we had a table set up in the back of the church there, and they had all their CDs out there on display. And for those of you saying, oh, you see, you're selling stuff inside the church, man, that's evil, that's wicked, Jesus is going to, set down, be quiet. You know, this is helping their ministry there. I know some people get uptight about it. I ain't. But I went in the back there after just about everybody else had done, walked on past, they went in the back, they left, whatever the case was, and it was just Miss Linda there, and I picked up a CD. They had two of them. And she says, don't you have our music? I says, no, I enjoy it, but haven't been able to buy one yet. And I've got a $20 bill in my hand. And she says, well, we give the pastors our music for free. I'm like, but I've got the money. She says, no, we give the pastors our CDs for free. She wasn't worried about their checkbook. She wasn't worried about inventory being off. What she was saying was, this is a small way we can be of help and encouragement to the pastors who need help and encouragement more than what most people know, and they want to make sure that they are taking care of them. And it meant a great deal to me. What can we do that would mean a great deal to somebody else to encourage them, to strengthen them, to let them know, hey, you're not in this alone. Because when we do these things, we aren't drawing attention to ourselves. We are drawing attention to a Heavenly Father who can get the job done, who will strengthen us, who will supply all our need, according to Christ Jesus. We've been made in the very image of God. Genesis 1, 26, 27. So we've been adopted into His family. Romans 8, 15 and Ephesians 1, 5. We're His. So if we take and obscure our light, Are we bringing glory to Him? Or shame to Him? When we do show the light and bring someone to Christ, though, that's fulfilling our purpose. There is no greater joy, no greater privilege, no greater miracle. With all the miracles Jesus did, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, and He said that we can still do greater miracles than this. John 14:12. What's greater than raising the physically dead? Giving life to the spiritually dead so they come back to life. Or they come to life, I should say. Leading someone to Christ. But you can only lead them to Christ when you're shining the light so that they can see. So this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, shine, shine. Let it shine. I've got just one question for you here as Miss Heather comes with the song of invitation. Are we truly shining for Jesus? Or just going through the motions? Nothing on there. But here it is. In 2024, let's be doing more for Him. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You for all You've done for us. I believe, Lord, this is the sermon You have for us to bring to Your people today. We ask You, Lord, please, to help us to let our light so shine that others might see Him. That people will see their need to get saved before it is everlasting too late. That people will understand that that gift is only going to cost them the action to accept salvation. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to inherit it. All we've got to do is ask Jesus to save us. Father, that's wonderful. Even a dummy like me can understand that. Thank You. That's it for now, Father. We'll talk to You in a little bit. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. If you'll please stand.